Destination Freedom. Destination Freedom, dramatizations of the great democratic traditions of the Negro people, is brought to you by station WMAQ as a part of the pageant of history and of America's own Destination Freedom. In the past decade, the soaring popularity of the swoon crooner has been one of the most spectacular phenomena in popular music circles. Chicago's contribution to the ranks of these silken-voiced balladeers is the master pianist and arranger Nat King Cole, one of the nationally famous King Cole Trio. In a chapter entitled Kansas City Phone Call, we bring you the Cole story.
Hello? Marge? Is this you, Marge? Oh, I thought you were Marge. Well, can I talk to Marge? 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 Sure, this is me, Marge. Don't I sound like myself? Well, maybe I don't. I got a reason for sounding different. We've got another member for our fan club. Yeah. Who? George Stoker. Yes, he did, Marge. Yes, he did. Oh, he put up a struggle, but I had some help. Guess who from? King Cole himself. Well, you know how George felt about our fan club and the King Cole Trio. He couldn't stand us or them. Well, I'd about given up getting George in the club. My last chance was to get him to take me to the auditorium to hear King Cole in person. Well, after we got downtown, we went into a drugstore. We sat down in a booth near the jukebox. It had 6 King Cole records on it. No, the jukebox. And Marge, George just sat there like a sack of wheat. I asked him to play number 7. Yeah. Well, he wouldn't, so I reached over and plugged number 7 myself. There it was, Marge. Gee, ain't I good to you. Or something like that. Naturally, I just sat back and soaked it all in. You know how he makes those words sound, so...
Diamond ring.
Oh, Marge, you know.
And everything. What makes me treat you the way that I do? Gee. Baby, ain't I good?
I can see George doesn't want to take me to any dance where King Cole's playing. And he starts asking me all about him. Well, I was ready for him. I'd been reading about King Cole, about the time he lived in Chicago when he was just another tough boy on 39th Street, leading a gang against another gang. Yeah, Marge. How this little skinny guy with a lot of nerve once led his gang across the street toward a bigger gang of West Side boys. And about the fight that started. Well, while the kids were fighting, the neighborhood policeman came to break it up, the way he'd done many times before. Only this time he goes home with Nat to have a few words with his mother.
He's not a bad kid, Mrs. Cole. But he's nervy, kind of restless. He likes to get out into the streets. Isn't there anything you and the Reverend Coles can do to keep him busy?
Well, all he'll do when he's in is bang on the piano. You know how much noise that makes. The neighbors complain.
Well, then, why don't you give him music lessons? Maybe he'll learn how to play good. Won't disturb nobody.
Well, I'll see.
And that's when it started, Marge. Nat's mother decided to let him study piano. And the very next day, she took him to Mr. Honeywell's private music school.
Come right in, Mrs. Cole. Come right in. Is this the young man you want me to teach?
This is Nathaniel.
And can he play the piano at all?
He just bangs the keys. Can't read a note.
Well, I'm afraid I must listen to him play first, Mrs. Cole. You see, I only take students who have a marked ability.
Nat?
Where's the piano?
The piano was in the next room. Nat and Mr. Honeywell went in, and his mother just sat there hoping against hope. Because all she could hear was Nat playing the noisy music that made the neighbors complain. On and on he played. Well, when they came out...
Mrs. Cole.
Yes?
If this is your idea of a joke, it's unbecoming to a minister's wife.
What joke?
I mean, Nathaniel plays the piano better than I do. You must have known that.
Well, sure, I've heard him, but it never sounded like much to me.
He's playing his own kind of jazz. The boy has a rich sense of harmony and melody. All I can do is teach him to read notes. That's all he needs.
Yeah, that's what I told George, Marge. No, he still wouldn't warm up. Not even when I got another nickel and put it in the jukebox on number 8. You know that one. Can you imagine? George just sat there like a rock, wasn't moved at all, and kept asking me what I saw in this guy's stuff. He said that as a singer, Nat ought to be a good baseball player. Well, that was my cue, Marge. I knew Nat had been a shortstop on a championship team. He could catch, too. All he liked to do was to practice piano and play baseball with the gang. Took him a long time to decide whether to be a baseball player or a piano player.
Get this one, Nat. High fly. Hey, good catch. Good catch. One more coming.
No, that's enough. It's getting dark. Let's get out of here. Huh?
Sure, Nat. Where you want to go?
Earl Hines playing up at the Savoy.
Yeah, but some scouts from the AAA League coming over to see us play. We ought to get him more practice.
Yeah, but man, Earl Hines, the way he plays that piano...
Hey, look, Nat, you got to make up your mind. You intend sticking a baseball or that piano?
I don't know. Tell you what, let's just knock off this once and go hear Hines, huh?
And imagine, Marge, like I'm telling George, off he'd go to the Savoy where this Earl Hines was playing. The gang would stand along the walls in their baseball suits and listen. Well, Marge, you know Earl Hines. He played the piano like it's a trumpet. And when Cole walked away, he could still hear it echoing up and down the street. He never could get those notes out of his head.
Say, Sinette, wake up.
Huh?
I said, wake up, watch out.
Say, if you want to commit suicide, do it with a pistol, buddy.
Whew. And Nat, what's the matter with you? Another inch and you've been hit. Wake up.
I was thinking about me leading a band.
Yeah?
Like Earl Hines. Playing that piano the way he plays it.
You mean you want to quit baseball playing?
Been thinking about it. Sax, what'll the gang think of me being a band leader?
Yeah, I don't know. Can you make a living doing it?
All you gotta do is find somebody to play for.
Yeah. Hey! And that, come on up and see my old man. He's in the Elks. He was telling me about some Elks ball they're giving them all night. They don't need music. Maybe the kind we can play. Come on.
When we say ball, we don't mean baseball, kids. Not baseball.
Well, yeah, but Nat's been taking lessons. He can play the way they do on records. You ought to listen, Dad.
And it's not music for dancing we're after. It's dancing music. Does he play dancing music?
They can dance by this.
Oh, go on, Dad. Hire him. Go on.
Well, I'd have to contact the lodge. They wanted a real musician.
Well, he's real. Go on, call him.
Well, all right. Hello, Central. Give me Vincent's 8,000. I hope you boys know what you're talking about. Yeah, hello. Elks Lodge? Yeah, say, Joe, we're all set on music for tomorrow night. Yeah, well, my kid found what we need. Oh, sure, it's very inexpensive. Sure. The musician's name's Cole. Nathaniel Cole. His band? Well, he's sort of alone. Oh, I see. Gotta have at least two more, huh? Well, I guess...
Tell him we got him. Tell him we're all set, Paul.
All right. Joe. Joe, he's set. Sure. Okay, thanks. Where do you intend getting the other musicians?
Well, I always play a little bit.
You call that howling on the saxophone playing?
It goes good with the piano.
Sure, and we can get up a drummer by tomorrow night. Somebody in the gang can beat the drums, huh?
So it's the gang again, huh? Well, now listen.
Now, please, Dad, let us go on. Just for tomorrow night.
Yeah, the Elks invited half the neighborhood out tomorrow night.
They won't regret it.
Yeah, Marge. Nat Cole played his first dance date. A real success, too. Nobody regretted it. Especially Nat and the gang. Next day, Sax's old man showed up at the baseball diamond.
The Lodge fellas want to promote me. Best ball in 10 years. I just came out to tell you fellas to be ready for tonight. The promoters over at the Warwick heard you play, too, and they want you tonight. They suggested that I act as manager since I discovered you. Now, come on. You can never tell where this will lead to. Come on.
And that's what I told George, Marge. There I sit in the drugstore telling him about what I'd read in these music magazines, see? About Nat Cole always sticking to the piano, never singing, just sticking to the piano. Well, he was playing piano every day and arranging music that sounded like Earl Hines' band, only younger. He had a band full of teenagers. And when he finished school, a promoter spotted him.
There's a show here called Shuffle Along. Ever hear of it?
In some kind of musical?
Exactly,
uh-huh.
Kid.
Yeah.
Everybody here in Chicago says you're the hottest pianist since Art Tatum. Is that right?
Well, people in Chicago have sure been kind to me.
So my agency's noticed. Now, I've got a deal for you that's surefire.
Yeah?
I want you to bring your band along with the show.
Well, where to?
Oh, well, first we'll tour around Illinois, upstate, downstate, and we'll hit the South.
South, huh?
No, won't be any trouble. Everything's all arranged. Hey, kid, you're on your way to glory. Yes, sir. Nat Cole's teenage band's going to become the biggest moneymaker in the country. Just stick with me, kid. Just stick with me.
And, Marge, I told George how Cole stuck with the promoter all the way to Alabama, to Georgia, and down into Mississippi. And each time they played, he'd ask about the pay.
We only took in a sorry 65 in Tuckaloo, and in Alcorn, we barely made a buck. It looks sad, kid, but keep playing. Keep playing. Trouble is, nobody ever heard of the Nat Cole band down here. Your style of music's like something from afar.
He kept playing, Marge. In Meridian and Raymond, this little teenage band kept playing jazz they'd learned in Chicago. And at the end of the road trip, the promoter checked the receipts.
90, 92, 300, 6, 20, 30, 40. 140 is what we've got.
Oh, no. What can we do with $140?
That just about pays our car fare back home.
Well, at least that's something.
Kids, I'm sorry. There's been some slight mistake.
How do you mean?
You see, this 140's got to go to pay for the use of the halls in Meridian.
Well,
oh, no.
Say, what about the car fare?
Oh, that. Well, you boys are young. Exercise never hurt growing musicians. If you can't hitchhike back to Chicago, try walking.
Well, Marge, they pawned their instruments and got on a bus and headed back home to Chicago. Just a gang of kids who wanted to play a kind of music nobody wanted to listen to. When they got out in Chicago, Nat Cole was still dreaming of building a big band. He was still a nervy kid.
Say, look here what it says in the papers about California, you guys.
Huh?
California's waiting for good, solid bands.
Yeah, some guy said that about the South.
Oh, this is different. Look, if we can get out to California by summer, we're sure to get booked.
Oh, I don't know.
We've built a band from high school up. If we can stick together for just another 2-3 years, we're in. Who's willing?
They were all willing. But you know how looking around is, Marge. Some of the fellows stayed in Chicago. The rest went to California with Nat. They went from nightclub to nightclub and from one hotel to another, looking for bookings, until one by one the boys got discouraged and began to drift back to Chicago.
I guess this is where I get off, Nat.
You're not staying?
Well, I can't. I'd like to, but I can't. How long will it take for our kind of music to catch on, Nat?
We've been brought up to play sharp, hard jazz. Kind of makes you jump, not sigh.
Well, they'll go for the way we play. All we've got to do is play it often enough.
Nat, now the porter on the Santa Fe got me 2 tickets back home. Want one of them?
Well,
Nat, you don't have to use them now. Later, if you want to.
Yeah, yeah. There's a hotel manager who said he'd give me an audition.
No, I'm sorry, Nat. I can't stay and help you. I'm catching the AM out. See you in Chicago, Nat.
See you, Sax.
Well, Marge, there Nat Cole was, all alone in California. Sax was his childhood buddy, and he stuck to the last. But when Sax caught the Santa Fe, only one man in the teenage band was left. Nat Cole. And he ate just one sandwich a day, Marge. Lost 30 pounds. And went from one club to another and played his own kind of jazz. While the club managers listened.
That'll be enough, Cole. That'll be enough.
Well, there's more to it.
And not for us. You see, your music's not sentimental enough. There's no moons and junes in it. It's so sharp, unsentimental.
Well, that's the way jazz is.
And that's why you're losing weight.
All right. Thanks anyway.
Oh, say, just a minute.
Yeah?
Of course, if you had a couple more men with you, maybe I could use you. I need a low-price group to fill in when my big band's in intermission. Maybe I can get some of those wrinkles out of your stomach. See you in the evening.
Nat searched the town and found guitarist Oscar Moore and bass fiddler Wesley Prince and took them back to the clubhouse. They gathered around a table in the rehearsal room.
Now dig this. The man out there doesn't think a small combination can entertain like a big band. I think he's wrong. When we get inside, play like you were playing for the $1 million prize. I'll show you my style. It's a jazz style. If you got a good beat and a good melody sense, you won't have any trouble with it. If we can put it all together, we'll have a team. They'll forget the big bands.
They got together and worked over some songs, and when opening came, they were ready. They played through number after number that same fiery rhythm he'd learned in Chicago, and the patrons listened. That's the way it was for 30 nights. And on the 31st, the manager complained.
There's something wrong with you guys, and I can't figure it out. You know more music than 50 sidemen, but somehow the people don't break their necks over you.
I've noticed that.
Tell you what, maybe you need a catch name. You know, like a brand of beer or something. Say, your name's Cole, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, then how about making it King Cole? Yeah, King Cole and his Fiddler's Three. The King Cole Trio, that's it. Now you're all set. See what that billing will bring you.
They played under the new name, and the applause was just the same. Until one old woman came into the club, heard the music, and said,
"Manager! Manager! I want the manager."
Is something wrong, madam? Isn't the service all right?
Oh, the devil with the service. I came here to hear singing.
Oh, well, you just happened to hit the wrong nightclub, madam. You see, we don't have...
What's wrong with the piano player's voice?
King Cole?
King Cole, a hut, whatever you call him, have him sing.
Well, it's this way, madam. He plays the piano, but he doesn't sing.
If he plays the piano, he can sing. My grandfather was the same way. Why, he played the piano for 17 years until someone stole it from him and forced him to sing. And that was the day of his deliverance.
I know, madam. Now, if there's anything else I can
You're
do for you...
You're not going to have him sing?
Madam, please.
That's all I wanted to know. Good day to you, sir.
Ma'am, are you the one who wanted to hear singing?
I tried to tell her, Nat, that you didn't sing. Yeah. It's enough to play the piano the way you do.
Young man, did you ever hear Sweet Lorraine?
Sure.
I want someone to sing it for me now. Will you?
Well, sure. Sure, ma'am. You just sit back down.
The piano player consulted with the fiddler and the guitarist, then got off on Sweet Lorraine.
Now when it's raining, I don't miss the sun. Because it's in my baby's smile. And to think that I'm the lucky one that will lead her down the aisle. Each night I pray that no one will steal her heart away. I can't wait until that lucky day when I marry sweet Lorraine.
Cole walked out of the club with applause ringing in his ears, louder than he'd ever heard it before. He couldn't figure it, though. Nobody ever liked his singing, but people kept applauding, and Nat kept on worrying, wondering why. And when he left one club and went to another, he'd play his wizard-like piano tunes, and they'd applaud. But then he'd lean over and sing out softly.
When I'm alone with all the dreams of you, that won't come true. What'll I do?
It was something Nat couldn't explain, Marge. I kept telling George how he went from club to club and how the pay was getting better, and Nat started making up songs. Songs he'd put together from old jokes and old phrases.
You see, the song came from a joke my father used to give in Sunday school.
Yes, go on.
Well, I made a song out of it. Thought you might want to, well, handle it, you know.
Let's hear it.
Okay, boys.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top. Fly right.
You expect me to buy that?
Well, I'd hoped.
And for how much?
Well, to tell you the truth, I'm a little short now. I'd give it to you for, say, $50. Is that too much, huh?
Yeah, it's robbery, sheer robbery.
$50?
Well, just because you're broke, I'll do it. For no other reason. Here, sign this.
Thanks.
Don't mention it, don't mention it.
And you know how much we played that in the jukeboxes, Marge. Yeah, I told George. Well, at the end of the year, the piano player came back to the buyer.
Say, that song of mine selling everywhere.
You said it. 25,000 copies in June, 50,000 in July, and we'll hit 1,000,000 next week. Congratulations. Congratulations, son. That was a fine song.
Yeah. I was wondering if you could, give me some of the royalties off of it.
Royalties? For my song?
I wrote it.
I bought it. You got your $50 cash.
Well,
what more do you want, son? I see what you mean. You didn't know it would hit. Well, one never knows. It's just one of those things. You'll learn.
Nat went on singing. Oh, you know, Marge, how we went for his records. I kept telling George there was something in it. Songwriters were on Nat's doorstep trying to get him to sing their songs, and he was winning one award after another. Downbeat, Esquire, Metronome. And then this character comes into his studio one day.
Say, Nat, there's a guy outside to see you. He left his music for you. Says it's written specially for you.
Yeah.
You should have seen the guy. He had a beard like Moses and a gown like an Arab. Wonder what his song's like.
Well, let's see.
Yeah?
Nice.
Hey, you want to try it? We got 15 minutes.
Yeah, okay. Cancel out that other song. Come around, guys. Get a good look at this one.
There was a boy, a very strange enchanted boy.
It made everybody listen, Marge. Well, George kept asking, is that all I see in this crooner? Is that all he amounts to? And then I told him about his Hollywood home and who visited him right after he bought it.
Yeah?
Is the young man who bought this house at home, Nathaniel Cole?
I'm Cole.
I see. We're from the Hollywood Improvement Association. Our committee sent you a letter, I believe.
Oh, I see. Come in.
No, thank you. We will make short, Mr. Cole. We know you're a busy man, so are we. But you bought this property against the wishes of your neighbors.
I didn't hear any objections.
There were plenty. In fact, there's a restrictive covenant that covers this entire community. We don't take in Negroes, Jews, Mexicans, or Orientals. You bought this property, however, and we're willing to give you back your money if you move out.
And suppose I don't care to move out?
That would force us to take the matter up in court. You wouldn't want that.
I wouldn't fear that. Go ahead, gentlemen.
Oh, now, see here. Let's settle this thing in a business-like way. How much are you willing to sell for? Say, 10%? Good profit.
I'm not selling, gentlemen.
15%. 20? Why don't you sell?
Every man must have the right to live and buy property wherever he's able. I believe to sell out to people who want to kill that right is treason. I'm not selling.
When I told George about that, he started getting interested. Well, it was about time to go to the dance, Marge. You know, King Cole and the trio were playing at the Kansas City Auditorium. Well, I put my last nickel in the jukebox just to warm up, and we went over to hear him in person. It looked like everybody in Kansas City was heading there. We hurried around the corner to the box office, and then we saw something. Somebody had a picket line across the main entrance to the auditorium. The pickets were carrying signs that said, "This dance is for whites only. The National Association for the Advancement of Colored People is protesting against segregation in Kansas City. If you believe in the end of segregation, don't cross this picket line." That's what the sign said. I stood still for a minute, half wanting to cross on account of I did want to hear King Cole. Then, all of a sudden, there he was. I saw him. He was standing on the curb looking at the picket line and then at the people going in. A man going into dance recognized him, too.
Say, you're King Cole, aren't you?
That's me, all right.
Well, isn't it late for you to be standing out here?
No, there's not going to be any dance. Not to my music.
No dance?
Not as long as there's a picket line. I didn't know they segregated dancers in Kansas City. I've been segregated in a lot of places myself. I've played in hotels I couldn't sleep in clubs I wasn't allowed to eat in. That isn't right. These songs I sing and play come to me from all kinds of people. My style comes from my own people. But when I play, I don't play just for my people alone. It's for all people. So this is one dance I'll stay out of. When it's open for everybody, I'll be glad to play.
It made the man think, Marge. You could see it did. He shook hands with Nat, and they went off in the crowd with the people still pouring into the auditorium. George was standing stock still, his eyes glued on the spot in the crowd where Nat Cole had disappeared. And that's when it happened. George said there was more to making music than you actually hear, Marge, and that fan clubs can mean more than just a bunch of kids dancing to groovy music. So he joined. And you know something, Marge? He's right.
You have just heard Destination Freedom's dramatization of Kansas City Phone Call, the story of pianist-composer King Cole of the famous King Cole Trio. Destination Freedom is written by Richard Durham and produced under the direction of John Cowan. The role of Nat King Cole was played by Oscar Brown, Jr., and the narrator was Norma Ransom. Others in the cast were Weslin Tilden, Dean Almquist, Russ Weed, and George Kluge. The special music was composed by Emil Soderstrom and played by Mary Sinclair and Jose Bethencourt. The King Cole Trio records were played by Mitzi Shine and supervised by John Brookman. Our technician was Gary DeVlieg. Sound effects by Cliff Mueller. This is Charles Chan inviting you to be with us next Sunday for Destination Freedom. ¶¶ This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.